95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Good morning and welcome to Her Story. I'm your host, Kathy Romano. Today's guest is the founder and CEO of Lil Mixins. Mino Lele is the engineer and entrepreneur behind three successful startup companies. The most recent, Lil Mixins, is infant food supplements that contains eggs and nuts. It's an alternative way to introduce these types of foods into your baby's diet and reduce their risk of food allergies. Mino is on the phone with me today to explain all the details. Hi, Mino.
Hey, Kathy, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for joining me. We're doing things a little bit different here. Normally, I have my guests in the studio, but this is the first time that we're doing a phone interview. So thanks for taking part.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a brave new world.
Right? It is. So Lil Mixins is your third startup company. What were the first two?
I was on the founding team. I wouldn't take sole credit for the first two. The first one was called Knee Creations. It was in the orthopedic space, and it was a company that built a technology around built a treatment around the technology that a surgeon in the Philadelphia area created. And the second was I was on the early team of a company called Volano Vascular, again, founded by a doctor. It was a blood draw technology to help reduce the chronic pain people feel from getting repeated blood draws in the hospital setting.
What's your education background? What did you go to school for?
I have an undergraduate business degree and an undergraduate engineering degree. And the goal of that program that I did at Penn was really to be able to take on the business of science or the science, the science side of business, because what we had learned is there's a lot of great technologists, but there's a big difference between inventing something and actually bringing it to the market and turning it into a form that people can use. And that's where a lot of technologies fail. And so the goal of having both those sets of skills is to be able to bridge that divide.
It makes a lot of sense. I mean, think about how many times people have an idea and then that's where it stops. It never actually makes it.
Yep.
What was your inspiration to start these companies?
So the inspiration behind the creations was, again, this doctor found out that most of his patients, or there was really inconsistent findings. He was doing a ton of knee replacements, but and he would see all these people that had pain, but they didn't have really bad arthritis. And he was trying to understand, well, if they don't have cartilage loss, then what's causing their pain? And so he kind of uncovered what that was, and it was a treatment to get to that source of the pain, if you will. With Volano, same thing. The doctor said, this is crazy. Like, we are in the hospital, we do 20 blood draws a day, and we stick people over and over and eventually deplete their veins. Why can't we use an IV catheter to draw blood as well? And so he went on this crazy goose chase, if you will, and figured out a way to draw blood from an IV catheter so you didn't have to stick people over and over again.
Hmm.
With Lil Mixins, this, for me personally, I started working on this actually while I was at Volano. And it was that my son, after my son developed multiple food allergies, I found out that food allergies are largely preventable because they develop in babies, typically between the ages of 6 and 10 months. The immune system is learning. And so there's this critical window parents have to possibly train the immune system to accept nuts and eggs without overreacting. And what I saw right away was that is so much easier said than done. That, it's one thing to tell a parent, hey, every other day, feed your baby these foods, but incorporating that kind of practice into the insanely hectic life of having an infant, especially if you have multiple kids, was going to make it a non-starter for most parents. And the goal is to, we learn these things, we want to make it, we want to actually see the benefits of those new discoveries. But seeing the benefits is often not just about recognizing the problem, but figuring out how does a regular person actually do this in their day-to-day life. And that's what Lil Mixins is it's, okay, take these foods, turn them into regular, easy-to-use supplements, and then parents that are still whole foods, and then parents can make this a part of their infant, their daily feeding practice with their infants without it being a huge issue.
So food allergies can be life-threatening. With these supplements, obviously nothing is risk-free, but how do you know that a baby is not going to have some major reaction to it?
You don't know that. The nice thing, though, is, again, for today, about 8% of children, give or take, develop food allergies, right? So you could say the odds of your child having a reaction to any given food are quite small. But the really interesting thing is, again, because babies don't develop these conditions, they don't develop the allergy until 6 to 10 months, if you start feeding these foods between 4 and 6 months, or as soon as the baby's ready for solids, you have this opportunity to reduce the risk that the food allergy ever develops. Again, when you have a reaction, that means you already have the allergy. So if you can prevent the allergy from happening in the first place, then you won't have that reaction. And that's what's really cool. The other part of it is that I think one of the things parents don't understand is that, because it hasn't really been discussed, is that in infants, so babies, you know, under the age of one, their immune systems are developing. They're actually not that strong. So when they did a big clinical study looking at all of the children that had come into the ER in the single ER center with a complaint of a reaction to food allergy, when you take the children who are under age two, their predominant 92% of their symptoms are vomiting or hives. And the symptoms that parents are scared of, shortness of breath, wheezing, those things don't happen really until the baby is 2 to 6 years old. So if you can first of all prevent the food allergy from developing in the first place, then, well, you'll never have a reaction. And even if your baby already has a food allergy and you discover this when they're 6 months old, they're, you know, 90-some-odd percent of the time, what you're going to see is them throw up.
Tell me about the products. What type of products do you offer? Are they all powders?
Well, there's three flavors, if you will. We make a baked egg, which when you introduce eggs into an infant's diet, they should be well cooked or baked, meaning they're actually heated at 350 degrees for 25 minutes or more. We introduce a peanut and a mixed tree nut. So those are the three flavors. Each of them is a powder protein supplement. You know, almost everyone's pretty familiar with drink supplements and mixes that we as adults all use for whatever various reasons. But in the infant diet, again, our products are really designed for babies who are just starting to eat. So you should not feed your babies eggs, not anything, before they're ready for solid foods. So once they're ready for solid foods, they can hold their heads up. You know, they're showing some interest in foods. They're, you know, typically between 4 and 6 months old. Then you can add these powders into a puree or onto, you know, really soft foods that you, and you get really soft foods that you feed them. The goal, and this is an important thing about Little Mixins, is that powder is the powder foods is a single way we make our foods, because around a year, around 10 months to a year old, babies can eat real food. They can eat peanut butter and they can eat, you know, almond butters and they can eat scrambled eggs. And there is no reason parents should rely on artificially prepared or powdered foods when a child can eat real food.
Okay.
And so we don't make snack food versions or anything else, because we all know baby food today has way too many snack foods in it instead of reliance on real food.
You know, I looked at your website and it's pretty informative. You offer a lot of guides on the website. Talk a little bit about that.
One of the things I realized is there's so many misconceptions about food allergies. And a couple of years ago, I started talking to parents about this concept. You know, babies aren't born with food allergies. They develop them. And I can't tell you the number of times people are like, what? No, they're genetic. And you'd say to them, well, think about it, right? When you were growing up, did you know anyone with food allergies? And they said, no. And I said, well, and then today, do you hear about a lot of food allergies? Yeah, they're everywhere. So how could that be genetic? And everyone suddenly goes, right. Okay, I see what you're saying. There's a lot of education that comes when you uncover something new in science. You often have to spend a lot of time educating customers and educating parents. And Little Mixins' goal at the end of the day, again, is to stop food allergies before they start, to reduce the risk of this disease across the board. And so part of that is providing the foods for parents. Part of that is just education. And we will not have succeeded unless food allergy rates go down. And so both of those things are together. So we have a guide on explaining eczema and how early incidence of eczema can tell you about baby's risk of food allergies, what to do about the eczema. Again, introducing the eggs, what you need to know about eggs and peanuts and tree nuts. We have a video series up there where it's like, basically we went to a leading allergist and a dietitian and asked them the same questions parents typically ask at a first allergist visit. And we created a series of videos, 20 videos. So it's like doing a Q&A, going to the doctor's office without ever having to leave your house. And actually a whole pregnancy series, because there's a lot of information on things people can do, parents can do when they're pregnant and before the baby started eating food to reduce the overall risk of allergic disease. So we want all that information out there.
And what is your website?
It's lilmixins.com. So it's www.lilmixins.com.
Are your products recommended by doctors?
Yeah, actually, we have thousands of doctors across the country who recommend our products. And that's something I'm really, really proud of. Because when I was ideating Lilmixins, the first thing I did was talk to hundreds of doctors about what do your patients actually need? I hate when people hate creating products that nobody actually really needs. So I talked to a lot of doctors. Well, what do parents actually need? And, you know, and we really tried to hit those. So we made sure what doctors love about it is in every serving of Lilmixins, there's 2 grams of the protein. That might mean nothing to you, but the only thing that's been studied and the only thing that's been proven to work to reduce the risk of food allergies is eating 2 grams of that protein per serving 3 times a week. And so we make sure that, you know, there's exactly 2 grams of protein in there, so you're feeding your baby the right amount. Our products are really long-lasting. If you buy a jar of the peanut powder, it will last you for 4 months of use. You don't have to engage in a subscription with us. You buy it one time. When you're done with it, your baby can move on to real food. And so that really makes it affordable. And then, of course, it's just there's no sugar, salt, or anything. So when I explain all that to doctors, pretty universally, like we have a 95% or higher recommendation rate. Once a pediatrician knows about our product line, they recommend it to the patients.
And Meenal, you're local. You're in the Philadelphia area?
I am, yeah.
And where can people buy these products? Is it just online or are they in stores as well?
So right now they're online on our website and on Amazon. Very shortly, they will be available in a major retailer that parents have learned to trust for their baby products. will be happening in July, so I can't quite talk about it yet.
Okay. All right. You mentioned your son and his food allergies, and that was sort of one of the reasons why you got involved with this. Does he still have food allergies?
Yeah, he does. And that's one of the devastating things about all of these allergic and autoimmune conditions is that for the most part, you know, once you have them for the rest of your life. We have no cures for allergic diseases like eczema or food allergies or asthma. We can treat them. We can control how bad they are for people, but we can't get rid of them. And so the strongest thing we have in our arsenal is to prevent them from happening in the first place and never have to deal with it in the future, right? And so this is something my son's going to have to live with for the rest of his life. Even if he goes through treatment to make it, you know, less dangerous, he'll still have them. And I think that's a really scary thing for me personally as a parent, obviously for him, and something that I really would love for more parents to understand, because when we think of the trade-offs of, yeah, it's a ton of work. I'm not going to lie. There's so many things going on when your baby is, you know, starting to eat and is under a year old. There's so much on your plate, no pun intended. But, you know, preventing food allergies is one of the best things you can do for them because it's a lifelong payoff.
And I would imagine any parent who has a brand new child, they're not thinking, oh, my baby's going to have a food allergy. So I can see how this could easily get passed up. But what you're saying is it's something that they should think about so that these kids aren't going to have a lifelong allergy.
Exactly. And you're right. That's exactly part of it is the 2 out of 3 kids that develop food allergies have nobody in their family with food allergies. We don't understand today how and why it strikes in certain children, right? Like I have one son that has food allergies and one son with 0 issues. There is some part of it that there is a genetic component, but for the most part, there are environmental and other factors that are causing these food allergies. You just don't know when it's going to strike. For a parent, I think that's a hard thing to think about. And I really sympathize with that because there's so many things to think about with your kids and so many different worries to have. In fact, it feels like there's so many worries that it's almost gotten to the point where you're like, well, I don't even want to have kids. There's too many things to worry about. But, you know, this is hopefully one thing we can just kind of take off the difficult list.
Meenal, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
If you'd like to get more information about the products and read some of the guides on their website, which are very informational, you can check out lilmixins.com, and it's lilmixins.com. If you missed any part of today's show, all you have to do is go to 95.7BenFM.com on Monday morning, and Meenal's podcast will be listed right there.
This is Her Story with Kathy Romano on 95.7BenFM.
Chef Jennifer Carroll is a celebrity chef who first captured the hearts and taste buds of food lovers on Top Chef. She was a finalist and a fan favorite on the sixth season of the popular series and also appeared on Top Chef All-Stars. Please welcome Chef Jen Carroll. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're actually from the area.
I'm from Philly. I'm born and raised here. I am Philly through and through.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in the Northeast in Somerton. And I went to high school at Mount St. Joe's Academy. You know, I went to college at St. Joe's. I went to the restaurant school. I've been here my whole life.
All right, so I did a promotion with the restaurant school years ago, and they taught me how to cook a Thanksgiving dinner. I am not a chef. We're probably completely opposite. So they taught me how to make a Thanksgiving dinner, and then we came into the studio, and I made a Thanksgiving dinner for all of the guys that I work with, and it turned out great.
I was going to say, how did it turn out? Good?
It did, and I still use some of the recipes. I mean, this was years ago, but I'll still pull out some of the recipes during the holidays.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. It's a beautiful school.
It is. It's gotten so much better over the years. They've added so much to it. So if you're looking to go in the culinary field and looking for a school, the restaurant school is definitely a great place to go.
What are some of the local restaurants where you worked during your career?
Okay. So I started out in Manayunk working with Derek Davis at Sonoma, and I worked at all of his restaurants, Kansas City Prime, River City Diner, all of those places. Then I moved into the city and worked with Neil Stein and Patrick Fury at Avenue B. And then I actually moved across the country to San Francisco and lived and worked out there. And then I moved to New York and worked for 10 years with Chef Eric Repair at Le Bernardin. But he brought me back home to Philadelphia in 2008. And I opened up 10 Arts by Eric Repair in the Ritz-Carlton and was there for about 5 years, 4 or 5 years running that as the executive chef. That was an amazing experience. That was my first role as executive chef.
But now you have your own restaurant.
Now I have my own restaurant, Spice Finch, which is on 17th between Walnut and Locust, right in Rittenhouse Square. Amazing location.
Beautiful location.
Yeah, and it has Mediterranean food that has nothing traditional. It has tons of flavors of different spices and herbs and vegetables, but it has something for everybody. You have to come if you haven't been.
I have not been, and I will plan on it. So when did Spice Finch open up?
It opened mid-July of 2018.
Now, I know you're involved with the James Beard Foundation, and the Taste America Culinary Tour was actually supposed to make a stop here in Philadelphia in April, but unfortunately, because of the pandemic, that did not happen. But you are involved with the foundation. Give us a quick overview of the James Beard Foundation.
James Beard Foundation is all about giving back to young students that are coming up. They do lots of scholarships, especially for women in the business, which is amazing.
They
In the culinary business. And they, both front of the house and back of the house, they give back, and they are trying to change the messaging around like sustainability and good food for good, which is about food waste, reduction, sustainability, inclusivity, and chef advocacy. It's all about mission forward, impacting programs, and creating a food-loving community, so really involving the community into the food world and educating more people about it.
What is it like being a female in the culinary industry? I mean, that's sort of a general question, but do you find any challenges? Are you seeing more women in the business?
I've been in the business for a little over 20 years, and it has changed so much, but there's still so much further that we need to go. There's still so much more change. And when I was first coming up in the business, for me, it was, in order to survive, it was to join the way that it was, join the boys' club, the kind of like crude comments and the misogyny and the,
you almost had to accept it if you were going to be back there with them.
Correct. Like, it just, like, I just had to like roll with it, because it was like, oh, you smack my ass, so like you touch me inappropriately, you say rude things. That was a part of it. And it was,
wow,
you do it and you knew what you were getting into, because This is the way of the kitchen, and like what happens in the kitchen stays in the kitchen. And if you spoke out against it, then you were pretty much ostracized or fired or weren't invited to like go out with anybody afterwards. And so a lot of women really, really struggle and have left the business that are super talented because they didn't want to be a part of it. I have a pretty thick skin, so I was able to roll with it, and I am fine with standing up for myself and talking back to the boys. And now,
even though you're like, well, how tall are you?
I'm 5'5".
You don't look like you're 5'5". You're tiny.
Yeah. I'm 5'5" with like
five
a couple inches.
Yeah.
But my mom and dad taught me to be feisty, and I'm very defensive. Like, I would work with my elbows out. If somebody came by and said something, I had no problem
pushing back.
And they knew that they couldn't get a reaction out of me where it would upset me, because I would come back and say something probably more inappropriate to them, which was not the right way, as I've learned and as I've grown over the years. And it's more about mentoring, and not only the ladies that are in the kitchen, but also the men, because the men have to change. The culture is with all of us, and it needs to not only be me standing up and teaching the young girls.
So are you seeing changes?
I've seen a lot of changes, but it's still present because there's so much diversity and there's so many different cultures coming into the kitchen that it hasn't crossed all of the borders yet. So it's kind of teaching everybody at the same time what is right, what is wrong, what is respect all about. And that goes for everybody in the restaurant, no matter what their job is, no matter what they're doing. It's fair and transparency and just honesty, like, across the board, and kind of creating that safe space, which was not around before. It was like, okay, if you're upset, go cry in the bathroom, or like go hide in the walk-in. I don't want to hear anything else. But now it's a little bit more of a caring environment. And really, for me and my employees, it's about learning about them and finding out what their home life is like and what their private life is like, and being there to support them and really talk about like health and wellness with them, because the stress of the restaurant job is insane.
That's what I hear. Anybody who owns a restaurant, anybody that's worked in a restaurant, I've always heard it's one of the most stressful jobs.
Yeah. I mean, there's no putting it off like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. You have a deadline every day, whether you're doing lunch service or dinner service, and you need to get your products, like your mise en place, done. You need to be ready to go. Your menus need to be printed out perfectly. You need to have your specials. You need to have everything ready. It's not like, oh, I can cut that garlic tomorrow. No, you can't.
You need to do it right now.
Yeah. So,
where is Top Chef filmed? Did you have to travel back and forth, or are you based here in Philly now?
This newest season of Top Chef, they usually pick one city and they go all over the place. The newest season was filmed out in LA, and I had to travel out there, and filming typically takes around 6 weeks.
But are you normally based in Philadelphia?
I am in Philadelphia. I split my time between Philadelphia and Washington, D.C., because I have my catering company, Carol Couture Cuisine, which is based out of D.C. too, which is more of a food experience type of company where we travel around. We do private dinners in people's houses. I actually do a really cool once a month, like, underground supper series that we do here in Philadelphia at like an unexpected location. We do a new theme, which has a new menu, new drinks, new experiences. It's actually really fun.
What's your favorite guilty pleasure food?
Oh, I am a junk food eater and I love candy, but I think one of the things that I pretty much always have are tasty cakes.
Oh,
and
my gosh, no way.
I love them. And it started out with my grandmom always having them for me, and then my mom always having them in the house. But peanut butter candy cakes, jelly crimpets, butterscotch crimpets. I love the chocolate juniors. I love all tasty cakes.
You're a tasty cake girl.
Yes.
All right, I got it. Would you ever use a crock pot?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I use crock pots all the time.
What do you make in a crock pot?
I would make a like lamb shoulder, a pork shoulder too, like anything that I want to braise and do like a long, slow cook. Absolutely. Or if I'm having a party at home, you can put soups in there, stews in there. You can cook a whole chicken in there. If you want to do like warm nuts, you can leave stuff like in there just to warm, keep it on low. You can do drinks in there. You can do like hot toddies in there. You can do anything with a crock pot.
All right. Listen, I've got a chef friend who looks down upon people who use a crock pot. So that's where that question came from.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that you find a use for a crock pot.
Listen, we all don't have the technology or the money to buy all like the crazy cool equipment. And so you should use every single piece of equipment to the absolute max potential that you can use it for. And I mean, taking from my experience on Top Chef, sometimes you don't have any equipment. So if I had a crock
right.
pot at like some of those challenges, I might have won.
You might have won. Right. Exactly. What is the website for your restaurant?
SpiceFinchPhilly.com.
And I would imagine people can make reservations for the restaurant on the website as well?
Oh, yes.
What's the most important advice you can give somebody about cooking?
Taste your food. Taste your food and don't get down on yourself if it doesn't work out the first time, because believe me, in order to get a dish perfect or to wear, not even perfect, because I don't think it ever is perfect, just keep trying and have fun with it. Have fun with cooking. Cooking should be fun.
I need you to come to my house and help me have fun in my kitchen, because I look at the kitchen and I'm like, ugh.
You should come and like hang out with me and my sister, my older sister, Jessica. I've been teaching her more and more cooking over the years. And she is actually like, she was always so like nervous about it. And I'm like, who cares if it messes up, if it's burnt or if it's weird? It's just for you. And if it's for your other friends that you invited over, they should be thankful that you're just spending time with each other.
They'll get over it.
Exactly.
Chef Jen Carroll, thank you so much for coming by today.
Thank you so much for having me.
To make a reservation at Jen's restaurant, you can go to SpiceFinchPhilly.com. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm Kathy Romano. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957BenFM.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.